Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of
Legends Only.
My name is T. Kyle.
And I'm Bradley.
And this is your weekly pop culture podcast where we talk about
Legends Only.
I mean, it's got to be blowjobs.
Get ready. Get ready for another week, everybody. Oh.
And you did it at my birthday dinner. Oh.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Welcome back to the new and improved Legends Only. We have a new contraption in the building.
Oh my God, I can't wait to show you guys. Oh, wait, let me take a picture right now and I'll post it.
Post it on the story after the episode drops.
Yeah, I don't want to dox myself.
It's actually, it's cute. Doxing okay, so, your apartment. Your yeah, rug is in the photo.
I don't want people to judge me for my hideous choices in. Anyway. Okay, so basically what you're not seeing is there's a mic stand that's holding the microphone that I'm talking into.
Yes.
And I went out and I bought this $20 little contraption that clips my iPad. This is revolutionary, mm-hmm. You guys. This is like technology these days. It's just, it's holding my iPad on my mic stand and I am just like,
slay!
It's so cute.
It's so handy and portable. So now you can just like, blip, yep. Blip. Because previously, the setup was just balancing it on his knee.
Yeah, I just had an iPad here, a phone
here.
Phone
on the other knee. Just flip, flip, clip, yep. Clip.
Clap, clap.
We are making progress.
It's made of plastic.
It is made of plastic.
So fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Promo.
Know what else is made of plastic?
What?
Barbie dolls.
Oh, you might miss them this week.
Oh, certainly it'd be hard to miss them. Saw every single one.
Every single one. Yes, everyone. The Barbie movie is coming. The official first teaser trailer. Well, second teaser trailer, this time with all the characters. And the now infinitely memeable character posters hit the internet this week. Marketing genius to have the Barbie AI generator, the meme generator right there ready.
Ready to go. This no Photoshop Barbie. Needed.
Yeah, you could just write, this Barbie is a little bitch, and put your picture.
Clown.
This Barbie is a clown. Before the movie was announced, or rather the teaser came out, there were more and more and more announcements of actors that are going to be in it. It was becoming comical, and now seeing all the character posters, it's like 25 of them officially.
I can't tell who's actually in the movie and what is just someone posting. So I just think everyone is in it.
Right. Jasper the doll confirmed.
Well, there needs to be a villain. So,
you know.
Guys, making a video.
I'm a Barbie girl. We do have, of course, the first one that popped out, I don't think is in the movie, which is our Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa. I know she's probably going to do the song for the movie.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be the case, but maybe she is in the movie too. I don't know. I thought that it just meant that she's doing the song.
Maybe both.
But, you know, there were comments and commentary on the wig choice, the blue plastic wig.
Well,
but
she is a Barbie.
I think it's intentional.
I think so too, right?
Right. Like, I think it's supposed to be campy kitschy.
Yeah.
For sure. The whole thing is, it's a comedy. Although, I do love the fact that the trailer has a very ominous undertone. Like, it's not telling you everything at all.
No, I don't really know what it's about.
And that's the point of it. Because the interviews they've done, which have been very few and far between, have just been like, it's not what you think, which I kind of stan. There have been some Easter eggs / deep digging, you know, the Swifty QAnon of it all have been digging deep into this, looking for clues. And there's a lot of Wizard of Oz imagery, and there's even the Wizard of Oz poster. So they're thinking that maybe it's going to be like this magical trip until they find out that everything is not as it seems sort of thing. Or it could be like the Truman Show, where maybe they become self-aware and they realize this is not, you know, they want to get out of this Barbie plastic world. Like, there's something about it that's like, it's this picture perfect Barbie plastic world. I feel like something's going to be ominous, or there's a, because there's no,
it's just plastic.
It's yeah. The Lindsay
breaks
moment. Like, something's going to happen for sure.
I wonder if it'll be like Toy Story. Where, you know, Andy leaves and then they're like, I want to be up there. Yeah. I want to do that. And there's like a genie and he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then she just becomes a real person, like Ariel, when she's like, I want to be where the people are.
Yes, true. Except I don't know. Every time I hear about the Little Mermaid live action, it sounds like they're getting further and further from the plot of the original animation. I'm not sure where that movie's going. And ever since I saw what they did to, I almost said Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Flounder. What the fuck is going on with Flounder?
I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried.
Chop him up and put him in a tuna can.
We'll see. But, I'm excited about this movie for sure. Everyone who's in it. The best part was the opening scene. Of course, her coming out of the heel and having the Barbie arched foot.
The attention to detail camp.
Perfect.
I might actually see this one.
It does seem like it's going to be an event. It's for the gays. It's for the girls. It's definitely shaping up to be
the Barbie girls.
An event. Yeah. Come on, Barbie. I liked the intro of Ken and Barbie saying hi to each other 500 times.
Hi, Ken.
I think it's going to be really stupid and fun. So,
what's it rated?
Oh, I don't know if we have
PG?
A rating yet. I don't think it's PG.
R.
I think probably PG-13. Yeah, I hope it's X.
Oh my God.
We'll see. But of course, yeah, not a moment went by before it was memed into infinity, which is always a good sign. You know, that's what happened to Megan.
Oh, so, Megan. I wonder if the Bratz will be in it.
Oh, like, rivals.
That needs to be a scene.
Yeah. Or Megan.
Oh my God.
She must feel a certain way that another doll is having a moment right now.
Well,
we'll have to see. Maybe she's in it. We don't know. There's something I feel there's no tension in the trailer yet. So something's going to, the other plastic shoe is going to drop for sure.
Those are the days.
I know. I just remember always like stepping on a little plastic shoe.
Yeah.
Oh,
they hurt.
Yeah. It's like a Lego.
Oh, ow.
That is more painful than, I presume, childbirth. I'm guessing. But a spare Lego on the floor or a little shoe from Barbie.
I had the Lego vacuum thing.
Yes.
I thought it was so cool.
That is cool, honestly. Yeah. That's revolutionary. I never had the vacuum for the Legos. The only thing I can think of is that game with the elephant who would blast out the butterflies out of his nose and you'd catch him in the net. You didn't play that game?
Why does it sound familiar?
It was very exciting. Yeah, it would like shoot butterflies out of its snout or something, if I'm recalling this game properly, which in retrospect, maybe I'm not, but I think I am.
Wow, legend.
And you'd catch them.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
We've
got a lot. We've got a lot of live action. We've got a lot of recycling of ideas this week, actually, in general. We've got live action. We've got hits from the past being reinterpolated. from Barbies to bangers. We have we run out of ideas?
Yeah.
I think so. I think we've hit the point of no return.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, it's kind of like the movies we're excited about, the songs we're excited about are songs that have existed already and concepts and movies that already exist.
Well, there's only 12 notes in a key.
12 so... notes. There's only 12 characters in a film, as we know. So
there's only 10 dolls to make movies about. That's what it's... I want to see is a scary movie, whatever is next, with Megan, mm-hmm. Barbie, Jasper, the Bratz dolls. Mm-hmm. Who else?
I guess that little shit, Annabelle.
Toy Story,
she
Annabelle.
She could be the first out.
Yeah. Oh my God, the Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, but it's Plastic all... Edition.
It's just like one of the Bratz be like, I volunteer.
Yeah, from the Toy Store districts around the country.
District KB. You know, you know. Throwback.
Oh God, yeah, we'd have all of that. Oh, we didn't put it on here, but it's a wrap for Mother Monster is done filming.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't, yeah, we meant to include on this, but, you know, she only terrorized us for a little bit in the city, which means the all of the movie was already recorded in secret somewhere. But we only got a few shots, you know, the Supreme Court building downtown. She's singing up a storm on those iconic stairs. She's lucky she didn't break a hip on there, because that's a lot of stairs.
It was tall.
Yeah. So it's a wrap. The director shared the first look of her as Harley Quinn, looking deranged in her clown makeup.
I kind of like it.
Oh, same.
It's a little scarier.
Yeah.
The pigtailed girl, she just kind of is not scary to me. But yeah. Gaga as her is scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those, I'm kind of into it.
Those eyes tell a thousand doves and
a thousand clowns.
A thousand clowns and eerie tales. I think she's somewhere very deep and disturbing in her mind.
I hope not.
Oh, for sure. I love all the fan videos of monsters being like, Gaga. And she like looks over and she's like, you could hear her be like, who's that?
I mean,
she's probably deep in it. She's committed to her craft. What can you say?
Yeah.
I was listening to Disco Heaven the other day from The Fame. It's the last song on like the deluxe of Bob. The Fame. It's actually so weird to listen to that song and just imagine like where she is now and be like, God, The Fame era Gaga. And actually, this is the 15th anniversary of Just Dance this week.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you, Gaga Daily, Bob. For that update. Yeah. Crazy.
When is someone going to interpolate that album?
I know she should.
Oh, Starstruck.
Oh my God.
Groove Slam, Work It Back.
Paper Gangsta.
Yeah.
I Like It Rough. Come on now. I know. It really, I think I was telling you and Charlie, I revisited The Fame recently, not just Disco Heaven. And my God, I like never revisit it, but it's still that girl.
It's the best.
Yeah. It just hits. It's probably because
of the
recession.
It goes The Fame, Chromatica, and then Fame Monster. I mean, the same thing, basically, but...
Well, some little monster with the art pop back tattoo is coming knocking at your door any second now.
Do it.
Art pop's underrated. I think it's perfectly rated. I'm sorry. That's my hot take.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Relax. She's doing
Relax.
Fine. She's selling out stadiums.
Yes. I don't know how I went on this tangent, but...
Know who's not selling out stadiums?
Who?
Although, I wish she was...
She's tired.
I know. Well, if she took a nap, maybe she would. Hilary Duff is...
Also acting.
Yeah, she is acting.
And even though she's kind of quit music, mm-hmm. they just released Breathe In, Breathe Out.
Vinyl available now on UrbanOutfitters.com.
Not sponsored.
.com. I think it's like a red vinyl, I want to say.
It bugs me.
Right.
Why?
Shouldn't it be blue or black or white? Well, white and black, blue.
Yeah, it should match the cover.
What?
Why is it just like blood red?
Yeah. It's giving careless.
It's giving whatever was left at the factory. Made of plastic.
They like picked up the goop from like the leftover Chromatica pressings. And they were like,
honestly, they probably did.
It's like half plastic doll, half confetti on the vinyl.
If I fall. Yeah, the color choice is interesting.
It was. It was very just like, sure, this color is available. But, you know, that's kind of how she's treated the music for a while now. So it's there if you want it. Breathe In, Breathe Out. the last, as we know, Hilary Duff studio album.
And probably the best, second best.
Oh, what's the first one? Metamorphosis.
Dignity.
Dignity, yeah. Dignity is Blackout's little sister.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, her little cousin, maybe.
She walked that Blackout could run.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
What a year.
Truly.
Well, one of the tracks on Breathe In, Breathe Out that is underrated that everyone should go stream right now, and I will put it on the Legends Only weekly playlist. Mm-hmm. One in a, 'cause you're one in a million.
It's so good.
Bop.
It's really, really good. And in a different, more perfect world, it would have been a single. It would have absolutely smashed. It could smash. It's great.
Someone revisit it, interpolate it.
Honestly, not ironic, like purely.
No, actually blissful pop perfection.
Yeah. You know, we got Sparks. Actually, let's have that conversation.
Everyone let it flop?
All these gays wasting their tweets about y'all let it flop. Let's talk about One in a Million.
Like, yeah,
that's the actual crime. Sparks had its moment because of gay Twitter, and she's tired of seeing those tweets. Work on confetti and One in a Million.
Yep, now we said it.
Well,
someone is working on One in a Million.
They are working on One in a Million.
But a different One in a Million.
Slay!
Okay, so Bebe Rexha has teased a potential new bonus track for Bebe Deluxe called One in a Million, and it interpolates When Love Takes Over, and it has been stuck in my head all week. Like, I very much felt like old school, like back when like Rebellion leaked or these like teasers. Or do you remember when Britney played State of Grace in her car?
Yeah.
I remember ripping that file and like playing it on my iPod. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that on my phone with that TikTok that she posted.
State of Grace really is like that one. I was just talking about this again with Charlie of being like, if you know, you know. If you know State of Grace, like you get it. If you get it, you get it. Yeah. And truly, I think her closest moment to like, remember every single album was like, it's her ray of light. I think that is like the closest to like she was getting in her ray of light bag.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, we do have another podcast where we do talk about her in length.
About this,
but yeah, anyway, getting off the State of Grace train. Yes, the snippet rather of Bebe Rexha's One in a Million, Kelly Rowland When Love Takes Over interpolation, which she said would anger her team if she played, but she did it anyway. And then when somebody accused her of being like, that's a PR stunt, somebody just told you not to do, she's like, bitch, my team wishes.
Yeah. I also loved the response where someone was like, can we stop with the samples?
Oh, right.
So she's like, okay, here's an original. Yeah. And it's My Heart Wants Once. And I was like, good for you.
It's true. Well, as I was saying to somebody recently, she has the ability, we've talked in at length about the virtues of Miss Rexha, but she's got the hits that she's written for Eminem and Rihanna. She's got her own smashes, and she's got interpolation pops. Take your pick, because she's done it all. She can do it all. Very versatile.
I also like this because she's changing it into a new melody.
Yeah.
It's interpolating it, obviously, but she's not doing a cover of When Love Takes Over. Which, whereas, like, there's some
of the girls,
and I'm not specifically saying, but like a lot of the EDM songs, they just,
well, there's one out this week.
What?
That Mr. David Guetta ended Discrimination last week, and then this week did a, is it on the list? I didn't even know if we added to
the
list.
Oh, no. I only have one song on my list today.
Oh, okay. Oh, did you not listen to it?
No.
Oh, it's called Baby Don't Hurt Me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I did hear that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's basically a cover.
Right.
Right.
Granted, I'm blue, one might say.
Yes, but she did add new lyrics to
it. Yes. However, I think we are reaching... Interpolation Nation is officially overcrowded. I would say the population has reached a breaking point. Some would say some girls were ahead of their time. Miss Ava Max, Bebe Rexha is starting this trend. We'll get into what's coming next, but I would say it's getting pretty crowded.
It's very crowded.
And not everyone is like doing it well.
Fair.
Some are sort of resting on a hit. We'll see.
Yeah.
But
this One in a Million sounds like a fucking bop.
It does. It really does. And once again, queen of A-B testing. She's sort of putting it out there, getting the feelers. Are people into this? And maybe she sees that people are not super friendly to interpolations right now and she holds off a bit. I don't know. Because, yeah, there was some backlash. People are starting to be like, can you come up with something else? Not about her specifically, but right. There's definitely some backlash right now.
I just really like the lyrics on this track.
Yeah.
It's very emotional, like, progressive emo dance, which I love. Mm-hmm. Like the lyrics about like, I can't believe we're, you know, alive at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like, I could see this blasting and like people falling in love while this, you know, and it also is an homage to like When Love Takes Over.
Have you ever fallen in love on the dance floor to a song?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Maybe we're about to.
Oh my God. If Bebe plays this at Pride, like the Pride show.
Oh, it's over.
Yep.
True love on the dance floor.
Yeah.
You never know. I would say the closest I've come to that feeling is We Found Love, sort of like as it came out at Sugarland in Brooklyn, and I was dancing with this boy, and I do feel like in that moment I was infinite and everything was perfect. I mean, We Found Love when it came out in general, like we were so lucky to be young gay youths.
Fact.
And to be in a club at that moment.
Fact.
And yeah, that was a perfect time. For me. Don't know where he went.
He's probably listening.
Ignoring his DMs. Yeah.
Bebe, release this.
Release.
On Deluxe.
This Bebe.
When is someone going to interpolate release me?
Honestly.
That's what I need someone to do, is someone to find some obscure one-hit wonder that... Ooh. What?
Not that.
What?
About Agnes.
No. I wasn't saying about her. I mean like a
cover
song.
Cover your ears.
Like a bop that was like one, you know.
A top 10 dance club hits song from 2010.
Right. Like that, you know, she's an icon, but we don't think about her all the time kind of a vibe. Mm-hmm. And bring it back. Mm.
I feel that. I mean, arguably, I'm trying to remember because I have gay rose colored glasses on. Is When Love Takes Over only iconic to gays or is it iconic to everyone? I genuinely don't know.
I think it's iconic to everyone.
I think it might be.
It is.
Okay.
Commander is not.
Two gays.
Because
gays
I remember, and this is my market research, back in the day when I went to KTU's Beatstock and Kelly Rowland performed, I recall everyone knowing When Love Takes Over, and then she did Rose Colored Glasses, and like no one knew it.
I know y'all know the words to this one.
Yeah. And no one knew Commander is my memory of
it. Okay. Yeah, Commander is definitely more like gay.
Yes, Commander's gay.
Yeah. Okay, When Love Takes Over, it took over.
Yeah.
Okay. I truly, in my mind, I obviously everything's iconic, so it's kind of a bias, but I do think that one did, in fact, take over.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hopefully again.
Yeah.
Well, someone else who's one in a million.
And she's been given one in of a million blowjobs. Once again, a hot week in our mentions. I think we were alerted to this dozens of times.
Dozens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I watched it the second it premiered.
Christina Legentina Ziemann Aguilera is here with her first ever podcast interview on Call Her Daddy, mostly to promote Playground. With an iconic shot of her holding the lube with the mic,
the glasses
stand.
On. It's so good.
We've said it before. You give her a check, she will promote it the house down. She is going to promote it here, there, Twitter, anywhere she can.
Mogul Tina.
Mogul
She's
Tina.
She's on the press tour.
Capitalist Tina is slaying us all with, it was like an hour long.
Yeah, it's an hour.
Interview. About her rise to fame, rivalries in the industry, dealing with misogyny, men, boo, and sex.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of sex.
I love a blowjob.
She really went there.
Enjoy it.
I will say she skirted around most of the Beatty rivalry headlines. Although I do feel the part where she was talking about being poked under the table, I think she was referencing Pink's recent conversations.
She is flying above the drama because one thing about Christina is she will often be painted the villain in these situations. And over time and maturity, I've realized like how often deeply unfair it's been, in my opinion. First of all, she has to answer every question about Britney. We've talked about this. She has to, you know. And of course, she had the alleged diva moment on the set of Lady Marmalade. Or really, it was just ego to ego.
Oh, I believe it.
But whatever. There's a certain narrative that gets painted. So I think it's really wise of her, however boring it may be, to not clap back.
I agree.
Because generally, they're not super kind to her in the general narrative. So
she talked about being baited in the past, which, you know, she was saying like at how she's like, I don't really want to be involved in this. And I'm just like really inspired. And I was sitting there, I'm like, Christina, come on. Like, I would have been like, I don't know if that's a man or a woman. Who were you talking about?
Yank her wig a little bit.
Yeah. She definitely participated. But then as I was thinking about it, I do feel like she was always on the defense because it was always just put in front of her, like comparison. Or this person said this about you. And she's like, oh, the newcomer?
Right.
Maybe it was too ahead of its time for certain people.
You know, as a result, I do feel like we didn't learn particularly anything new.
No.
Perhaps only about her sex life, which I think I said on the right before this was announced, like I would love her to have a sex podcast because she would thrive. She basically did that. She heard that and went right to call her daddy instead of us. But I do think that is a place she feels comfortable to overshare in a fun way. That's, once again, on brand. It's not hurting anybody.
No.
It's pleasuring people, in fact.
And she talked about pleasuring.
She sure did.
I think swallowing is really, you know, a good thing.
I was also thinking, you had said something last week where you were like, I think this is so awesome and empowering for her to be like shamelessly out there doing these products and talking about, I agree. Oh. When she talked about sucking dick.
Yep.
And
I enjoy it.
I'm like a woman
after your own heart.
Yeah.
Like, I agree.
Yeah. I'm like, same. Fine. Right? Like, now we said it.
Honestly, we have to suffer through DJ Khaled saying that he doesn't go down on his wife. Meanwhile, we have Xtina loud and proud sucking dick. I love it. More
and
of that.
It's got a lot of protein.
I have to say, like, hearing her talk about this, because, like, I'm usually, like, very conservative mommy and, like, British.
Yes.
But, like, not when it comes to this, okay?
This is a subject near and dear to your heart and your face.
I love a blowjob.
Anyway.
I'm a promoter of the swallow, okay?
I loved hearing her talk about this. It was entertaining.
Well, I thought she was talking about the bird.
The what?
The swallow, the type of bird. No, I agree. And I love that she is unapologetic about it. I think this is just a really great time for her. I'm genuinely serious about that. I love unapologetic Tina. I love her talking about sex. She really always has, but I feel like now we've opened up the opportunity for the pop girls to like really go there with podcasts and things like that in a way that, I mean, the headlines that came out of this too were just hilarious. And the fact that like, what's a pop crave offshoot wannabe? The pop tings.
Oh.
Well, cute next to gorgeous. Pop crave's gonna eat them up every time. They like made that the headline about her swallowing. Everyone's like, okay.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I truly don't give a fuck.
Love that so much.
It's so good.
It's so good. Good for her. We don't get enough of that. Well,
no.
From pop stars, I mean. Yeah.
It was also an interesting watch, too, because you could tell she was very reserved about some things. And she was a little shy and kind of, I don't know, like she didn't fully go there with certain subjects.
Yep.
But then when it switched over to this, she was like, and I love blowjobs.
And I love blowjobs. Yeah. Because I think, again, Mogul Tina, if you give them a single soundbite about Britney, Justin, Pink, what have you, you're not going to get the headline to be about sex or the lube or anything. Like, she has to think about that. Like, if you give them the other headline, they're going to bury the blowjob. You have to make the blowjob the main event.
Yep. The meat.
The meat. The meat and potatoes. So it's all very smart, in my opinion. It doesn't make for the most interesting interview because she is kind of guarded about certain subjects. But again, it's like, as we'll talk about with Ellie, I don't think you have to sacrifice your mental health and privacy and put everything out there that you don't feel as comfortable with, or that everything needs to be like so out in the open. But if you do want to be candid about your sex life, on the other hand, that's fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't all have to be, let's talk about the trauma of your upbringing and the abuse and things like that, or the rivalries and all this. Anyway, I thought she did great and she maneuvered it really well, because on that podcast, like they can go there. They can kind of not bait you, but
your mother.
it can get there. So well done, X-Tina. And clearly she's being appreciated in various formats on the internet, even in subtle ways, including video games. Because as you mentioned, there is a new champion.
Yes. Okay. So there were some gays. Niche. Yeah. This is very niche, but there were some gays who responded to my tweet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they get it.
Yeah.
So I love Lotus promo.
Right.
In Fortnite, there's like a Lotus Lookout map, and I was like, Christina's Impact.
Yeah.
And now, if you play Overwatch, there is a new champion named Life Weaver, and all of his abilities are like Lotus promo, and he has this thing where he like lays down this platform, and it's a giant Lotus, and it's literally like the AMA performance with like...
Oh, yeah.
And it's this giant Lotus flower, and it lifts people up, and it's literally the Lotus album cover. Yeah.
Underrated ballad. Let me just say also that Christina's Lift Me Up, it should be up there. It should be like more well known.
Facts.
I just wanted to say that.
Transpop. Interpolate it.
Oh, yes.
If you lift me
I see. I already see the file project name being loaded on your computer.
Maybe.
Maybe so. We'll just see where she goes next with the Zeman dripping over her body, the blowjobs, the playground, and everything else.
I hope she does another Pride show or like some kind of...
Ooh.
I wonder if she'll be NYC. No one's been named yet, right?
They did. Yeah, they did. It was Gorgon City.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I stan.
Right. It was a bit...
Are they?
I don't
know.
I don't know. But Grace Jones, Carly Rae Jepsen. Wait, isn't she doing... Isn't Christina doing LA again? Or no? Maybe.
No, is it Mariah? No.
Oh, wait. The other thing with LA is there's like three different kinds, right? There's like WeHo Pride, LA Pride.
Oh, Real Friends of WeHo Pride.
Real Friends of WeHo Pride. LA Pride is Mariah and Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's so good.
But not that New York is dead, but I've been a little unsure lately of because we have, what's the event called? Planet Pride in New York?
Well, that's not like the pier. So like Planet Pride is the Mirage takeover.
Okay. Planet Pride is Gorgon City, Gareth Emery, Jonas Blue,
Bop,
Aquaria,
Bop,
Jody Harsh. Surprise performer at the very bottom.
Ava?
Yeah, maybe. Probably. Honestly, yeah. Pier.
But then Pride. There's normally like the...
Yeah, the pier ones.
Yeah.
Pride Island. Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything about it.
We haven't. You know what? It could be Christina because she did LA last year, so it makes sense for her to be bi-coastal this year. Well, we'll see. Maybe New York is not dead.
Maybe not.
Well.
Speaking of Pride
and going all around the country, speaking of country, the Country Music CMT Awards.
Yeah, what does that stand?
Country Music Television.
Oh.
Awards. Happened, and surprisingly, but appreciatively, they had at least, I think, four or five from Drag Race hit the red carpet. Specifically, they did an interview. They talked about drag bands in Tennessee. They talked about everything going on in the country with anti-LGBT legislation. And I applaud where is due to even have them at the event and have them speak out specifically on the red carpet. I thought it was great of them. CMT, I think, is under the big umbrella of VH1, MTV, and all that. So mm-hmm. I'm glad they did that. And then, of course, we had a performance. Kelsea Ballerini brought them all out as well.
This was fantastic.
Yes.
I have to give her so much props for doing this.
Yeah.
There was choice in the lyrics that she sang, mm-hmm. too. I was like, that was with a purpose.
Yeah.
And I also loved that her look was very, drag inspired.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a reminder to people, our community, people in our community, we drive entertainment. To do this and to attack LGBTQ+ people is you wouldn't have these pop star. It's all inspired. It all comes from.
There was a million haters, but there was one who was like, country music is serious and reserved. And then they just quote retweeted it with a picture of Dolly Parton and all these other people who are so larger than life. Please give me a break.
I love the tweet people found from Dolly Parton from 10 years ago that was if I wasn't born a woman, I would be a drag queen.
Right.
And I'm like, she is the big,
yeah.
Yeah.
Big hair, big everything.
Big hair, big tits, mm-hmm. big personality, big voice.
Absolutely. It's, we're all born naked and the rest is drag, as
it's so true.
Mother Rue might say. And shout out to Kelsea. She was one of the artists we had in when I was at Pop Crush, and I really liked her. She did a three song set for us, and she had come in with her custom glitter bedazzled microphone, and I was like, oh, you're an ally already. I got the sense that she was down with it from, and that was probably 2015-14, and she was already down with the LGBTs or just
applause era,
very drag friendly. So I like her.
I wasn't particularly aware of many of her songs until this moment.
She's having a bit of a moment this year in general too. So things are picking up in a mainstream way for her. So it's been good. And this obviously will help.
Yeah.
Well, she's not the only entertainer doing.
There was another chanteuse speaking up against drag bands.
Mm-hmm.
Countess Luann posted an Instagram with a sign that said, "Drag shows don't kill people, guns do."
Preach. Also, very dangerous to pose on the internet with a giant sign.
Yes.
Yes. But she made a point, and we appreciate the gesture. Honestly, we've talked about it last week. Once again, her socials are really killing it. She's been outspoken and also shooting down rumors of why she left the...
Luann's story arc is so fascinating to me. I do have to say, I appreciate her doing this because, again, like with Kelsea did, it's you're putting yourself out there,
you're
making a statement, and you're just getting all hate because, mm-hmm. That's just all the comment section is.
You know who else made a statement? This is about to get so niche. I have a Google alert set for about three people. It's Utada Hikaru, me, and Ryan Starr of season one of American Idol. I'm not kidding. So I always want to know what she's up to. She also spoke out against gun violence on her Instagram. And I watched, she was replying to every hater and person who was you're an idiot, you don't know anything. And I was I appreciate that, Ryan Starr. I would also like her song, My Religion, to be on streaming, but that's a different story. I
love you, darling. Good luck with the song.
I went on a very deep dive with Ryan Starr, as I do about bi-monthly, because I'm fascinated by her existence. But anyway, thank you, Ryan Starr. Thank you, Countess Luann.
Did Kimberly Caldwell put out a statement?
I have a storied history with Miss Kimberly Caldwell.
Carmen Rasmussen.
My arch enemy. She's probably voting for the band.
I know. That's
but
bad to assume.
Kim is down for this. She, I believe, has a gay sister, and she's always been outspoken about LGBT rights. So, Kimberly, I still have that signed headshot somewhere when I wrote her that handwritten letter and drew her. That's...
Wait, you drew her?
I drew her.
Do you have it somewhere?
Well, she has it, but maybe I have a photo of it somewhere, probably. I was probably 14 or 15. Ugh, American Idol. Those first two or three seasons really hit
at everything.
A pivotal moment for me. Like, Ryan Starr, Kimberly Caldwell, Camille Velasco, very important to my upbringing.
Diana DeGarmo. Jennifer Hudson.
I mean,
that was
night,
my first concert.
That night when the bottom three was Jen Hudson, Fantasia,
LaToya London.
What a fucking...
America hasn't been the same since.
But yes, I don't know how we got here, but Ryan Starr is also a supporter of gun control.
We'll have to come up with like a mega list of every Idol alumni and if they support gay rights.
Yeah, gay rights and gun laws. And yeah, so thank you, Countess Luann, for your
good
service.
For Luann.
Good for Luann. It's, to be fair, we've got, you know, these Real Housewives cover the spectrum of political leanings, and you do find that more of them are more conservative, more old money, whatever, what have you. And so it means something that she did say something.
It does.
You know, you're not going to see Ramona doing the same thing.
Find someone out there who has been arrested, assaulted a cop, done blackface, been in jail, sings, reality show. What else hasn't she, like, what hasn't she done at this point? Progressive icon. Mm-hmm. Gay icon.
Yeah.
Kicked out of townhouse.
Yeah.
An actual countess.
Huh. Difficult to get.
I mean, she has many layers and many
experiences. She's lived many lives.
Many lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She has.
It's like kind of iconic. Like,
yeah.
It really is just like, mm-hmm. I really can't think of another person who has like lived that many lives.
Yes, I agree. I from New York
model. Like she was she's a model.
Especially because so many of them, I've only become like more and more dislike. I
right
Ramona
over time.
I've
people
never...
don't necessarily age well with
yeah
you know
yeah Bethany constantly on TikTok.
Oh my god,
shutting people down with cease and desist and everything now. Whatever. I think she's improving while a lot of them
she's evolving.
Are not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, good luck on the song.
We stand an evolving Chanteuse.
Love you, darling. Good luck with the song.
Call me if you want to do a 2023 remix of Chic C'est La Vie.
Honestly.
From progressive icon to progressive house. How about that?
There we go.
Anywho.
Well, speaking of drag queens.
Drag queen. Yeah, I think we should hit the runway for a little drag race.
Fashion.
High fashion. So editorial.
Guys, this is awesome.
This is a billboard.
This is super high fashion.
Oh my god, that's so high fashion.
So high fashion.
I don't have any high fashion this week.
We could talk. It's a two for one. We had the RuPaul's Drag Race season 15 reunion. There were some looks. I would say there were some looks.
Mm-hmm. They stepped it up for this reunion.
You know what? Shout out right after our own hearts, Sugar and Spice.
Really ate this whole thing up.
They gave us the Lizzie McGuire
finale. Trisha Paytas basically doing. It's like the layers. They're so layered.
Oh my God, you're right. They definitely referenced Trisha doing.
It's literally like referencing Trisha doing the video referencing Hillary.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
It's what is it specifically? It was Lizzie McGuire and Paolo.
Yeah.
At the end, and she's performing as her
Hey Now
alter
Hey
ego.
Now.
Yeah, I have to brush up on the Lizzie McGuire movie, but you know, it's that iconic purple and green looks, which I appreciated.
Hilary Duff, Trisha Paytas,
uh-huh.
Now Sugar and Spice.
Yes. Handing down the torch. The girls looked good, obviously. Sasha just ate them all up, as usual. It's just winner, winner, chicken dinner for me.
It is.
I've never seen a more clear-cut, obvious win since probably Bob or even Bianca.
Bianca, yeah.
Yeah, just steamrolling the competition. And every question that they gave Sasha was just like, are you surprised that you're so iconic? And she's like, no.
And I also love that Rue,
yeah,
that one moment where she's like, no, like, yeah, Rue knew. And yeah, I was like, that felt to me like winner. Like, Rue,
yeah, that
is
cut
kind of
scene too, where Rue was like, I'm the queen of the world and I think you're amazing.
Yeah.
It's over. Mm-hmm. It's so over. Anitra didn't say one word. And before you blame the edit, Lux spoke out on,
oh yeah,
Twitter
just a couple hours ago.
And she said, not everything is a production thing. The girls that weren't talking.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Anitra talks that much in this setting. Mm. I don't really think
it
so.
It is a different kind of a setting.
Yeah. Mistress did kind of carry it.
Yeah.
We do appreciate. And so did Irene.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, from the beginning. Also, let's talk high fashion. That look was great.
Yeah.
I loved that look. That was sort of almost Bjork-ish, whatever. It was great. She
also talking about the edit. I felt like Irene was more entertaining on the first episode than in this reunion.
Oh.
There was some weird tension going. There was a tension, and I couldn't figure it out.
Well, first of all, the girls will not get their foot off of my queen Lucy's neck.
Oh, loose.
They were not letting loose. But I do think she had quite the redemption on this episode.
I agree.
Think she really had a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
But Mistress in particular, stiletto firmly on neck.
Yep.
Oh, fake in this moment or during the whole season? Yeah, I loved the Connecticut moment. Oh my God, I'm so proud. The lieutenant governor and those LGBTs just being like, you put Connecticut on the map.
Also, I was like, who is that? Like, like some of the girls stepped it up so much for this reunion where I was like, you look totally different than
that's true.
Your persona on the show.
That is what happens a lot of these times. They see themselves on TV and they go, oh, mm-hmm, yeah. But Irene certainly did not deserve to be first out just based on personality. Like, she should have at least had more to do because she had a lot to say.
Yeah. I also loved the Rebecca Glasscock reference.
That Princess Poppy. No one got.
No one is getting. The majority is like, who's the one in the jeans? Mm-hmm. I can't believe she showed up in jeans. And I'm like, come on.
It's a great, great reference.
It's such a funny reference.
She's funny. Her line during the openings was, I'm quitting drag. Everyone else had like some saucy line.
But I feel like that also played into the Rebecca Glasscock. Like, it was layered. I appreciated the reference and the layer to it.
Agreed.
Most of the audience totally missed it.
Yeah. It's a bit like Willow Pill's entrance look from 14 when she came in sandals. And the it's very similar where it's like, no, it's meant to be.
It's bad. Art.
It's art. If you don't get it, you don't get it. I thought it was a step up from previous reunions, which were really just clip shows. And partially that's because we didn't see so much of the season, thanks to our friends in WeHo. But they had a lot of unseen footage to work with. So
yeah,
it was new to us. They didn't just recap a lot of things. They had a lot of stuff to show, at least. And there were slight moments of tension.
I wish they brought back the clip shows. Do you remember those?
The one that that man hosted right after the show?
No, it was like, I remember Latrice's season had it, and I think Alyssa Edwards' season had it, where it was a show that was like bonus footage, and it was highlight reels of like unseen things and funny moments and bloopers. Unless I'm like remembering incorrectly, but I feel like there was one with Latrice's season.
They should, although I will say that the girls are fed with the amount of content that is all based on a hour-long program, when you immediately go to Whatcha Packin', Pit Stop, Sibling Watchery, Race Chaser, IMHO, like all of these like reaction
there's
videos.
There's so many.
There's so many, and I do sort of listen to all of them. So there's plenty to choose from to recap it. And some have more tea than others. Some have connections to the contestants, and they have some behind-the-scenes drama.
I loved Bianca
on Pit Stop.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You could relate. Her foot, for the first few episodes, she had a foot surgery of some kind.
Oh.
She kept wearing the soft shoe, boots. She had a new
story. I hope she comes back.
I think they rotate it every time.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it the past few seasons for sure. I think having Bob and Thorgy would be just a dynamic duo. They're great together.
They're so funny.
It's really funny. They're also pretty smart with the pairings lately. They'll have like Bianca and Laganja together was like very perfect. A shout out to Laganja doing a line with Trixie. I don't know if you saw that.
They have, oh, yeah, yeah.
Doing a collab. Trixie must be...
mogul.
Rolling in it.
Yeah.
It's like I get off my phone looking at Laganja's collab with Trixie, and then I switch to like the podcast and the Bald and the Beautiful with Katja. And then you go to Un. And then you go, like... everything. There's so much.
And then you go to TikTok and it's all the clips of everything and mm-hmm. bloopers of everything.
Money.
One of the funniest things I think I've ever seen is Katya accidentally eating that prop soap.
Another series that they do, Netflix, I like to watch.
Fucking things, which I think I've ever seen.
I don't care if you don't watch Drag Race. You need to watch things like this. Netflix's Two Queens Who Love to Watch, Like to Watch, whatever it's called, reacting to shows. Oh. In one of them, yes, Katya eats the decorative candy, which is like wax.
Yeah.
By accident. It's so fully good. Like
I think swallowing is really, you know, a good thing. And it's got a lot of protein.
Really, really good.
So funny.
Yeah. I just don't understand how Trixie is that. And she's becoming a DJ and like making bops.
Yeah.
Is too much. I don't understand. I mean, it's all great. I just don't understand how she has that drive and determination. I'm Hillary Duff in this situation. I'm tired watching her, but good for her. Anyway.
Creative legends. We love to see it.
We do love to see it.
We love to see our Drag Race queens thriving.
They really are.
Also, on the subject of Drag Race, quickly, what was the drama with like Lux and Mistress, and like I saw, was it just fans being like mean and causing drama online?
So the ongoing narrative of the season for the past 4 or 5 episodes, I would say, is that Lux and Mistress are bullies for going so hard on Lucy.
Got
it. So they've gotten a lot of hate. Mistress got a lot of hate when she went after, not went after, when she and Marsha had their moment in the after show even more weeks back. And then she said in the reunion that her account got like deactivated 3 times because of fan spam reporting.
Yeah.
And so they were talking about how disproportionately they get a lot of shit, even though everybody can be catty. And it's all very valid. And that happens every season, is disproportionately the queens of color or the big girls get more hate, even if you're evenly fighting it out with like a white twink. So it's like my least favorite part of Drag Race is, which is actually true of everything I love. The fandom is my least favorite part of the things I love, because they turn things toxic. They come after people with accusations, or they take it too seriously.
Spam their accounts.
Yeah. And it just makes it so unfun. And worst of all, it hinders the programming of, or the product of the person you like, of the show you like, because then you get self-conscious and self-aware. I like that RuPaul...
I wonder if that affected the reunion taping.
Of course. Absolutely. Ugh. I like that RuPaul asked about it, and she said, you know, how do you deal with that? And she said, of course, I don't look at it and I don't let it affect me. She just turned
the
blind
eye
and
ranch.
Fracks. Yeah, she said, once you're fracking, you don't need to be scrolling the comments.
There's no cell tower on top of that fracking rig.
But the point remains, and it is true, the least that you look at it, the more likely you will be. It's in a better mental health space. It doesn't help. It does not help. You know, Lux said she blocks, which is truly the only answer. Works.
Yeah. Watching Jersey Housewives this season and Drag Race, while not looking at
the
fan
screen.
Commentary, I do find it to be more enjoyable.
Yeah. I don't actually
people who make funny memes. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. But I don't read the like negative.
Yeah. I know both of those fan bases certainly can get incredibly toxic. But it's so much better when you don't look at it. I mean, and I also think
I just want to laugh.
I do think Drag Race is generally a younger crowd that is provoking a lot of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't understand the Rebecca Glasscock reference.
Right. So. And I love that the clapback now, a lot of people, is like, you would never survive the earlier seasons if you were watching. If you think Mistress
so
and Lux
true.
Are bullies, you got another thing coming.
It's
and it's true.
True.
It's so true.
Did you see the Bob and Mistress back and forth?
Yes, that I do love that.
Bob ate her up.
Bob's diss track is good. It's so good.
I don't understand how you can have 2 faces and 3 chins. Oh my God.
Vicious.
I also respect that about Mistress. She can dish it and take it.
Yeah.
That's,
she likes to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't get overly worked up about, and that whole thing was playful anyway, but she does not, when you come at her, she doesn't get more.
No.
You know, like, that was out of line.
Yeah.
Which, that's great. She's very traditional drag queen in a lot of ways. I've always felt very strongly, and I've like sort of ominously about Drag Race, that nobody ever, I think Katya says this, nobody has ever said that Drag Race drag queens need to be nice and need to be prim and perfect about how they operate. Like, these were people who were not necessarily, they were rough around the edges in clubs and stuff. And that is a lot of the genius of the earlier season, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
Very prickly.
Justice for Tina Burner.
Justice for Tina Burner.
Some of her mixes that she would do at Barracuda would never fly on television.
No.
But the way that she would take sound bites and songs and lyrics and blend them together to tell these, like, bits was so genius.
Well, did you see that Bob just performed Selena S. Titties Going Off on the hilarious Ross Matthews?
No.
She basically said, eat my ass. I don't know why I'm afraid to say it, but do we get the, like, explicit mark on our podcast if we say bad words? Is that a thing?
Every single episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, who cares? Like, I don't know why I'm self-censoring, but she yelled, eat my ass back.
At the end of the day, I truly don't give a fuck.
And she went on sort of like an extended rant after she got voted off, being like, he doesn't know fashion. Why is he a judge? What is he doing there? Why is he hilarious? And so she went off on him, and so it went a bit viral to the point that Bob now performed to that rant recently, like in the past few days.
That's kind of genius too.
Uh-huh. And a lot of people are like, oh, she blew her All-Stars chances, but I don't think that's true anymore. A lot of the girls get mad at the judges, and they bring up points, which, you know, we have a sort of unchanging roster of people that arguably would really benefit. We, Delta and Coco talked about this on their amazing episode. It should be legends.
Yeah.
It should be legends.
Especially now.
Yes.
It's so deep into the seasons that I do think.
Well, you know, there's always been a sneaking suspicion that somebody only wants one drag queen on the panel. So.
Well, Michelle, with these looks this season.
She has been.
There's two drag queens up
there. She's been serving.
She's been serving.
Severely. High fashion.
TikTok has also found old clips of Michelle that have been going, and I love every single one.
Yeah, I just
They're
posted
so
one.
Fascinating.
Shout out to the Discord girlies of them doing a skit from her RuPaul show in the 90s. And it really does highlight that the acting challenge, nothing has changed for RuPaul in 20 years. She does the same skits.
Nope.
She loves that shit. An over dramatized telenovela. Like, she'll do it then, and she did it now. And yeah, you know, we got the reunion coming up, or sorry, the finale coming up. And I've heard rumblings, but I'm not going to say anything, obviously, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I do respect the LGBTs who keep it mostly tight-lipped after those finales. Granted, we know they do multiple crownings, but I feel like we don't get a lot.
I haven't seen anything from...
There's only been like two or three things, but I mean, I don't... Well, we can maybe clip this, but like Willem talked about it on Race Chaser. There was a incident of some sort on the stage involving an injury.
Oh, I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah.
There was a photo that leaked.
Yes.
But that's all I've seen.
Yeah.
And so, that's not really spoiling.
It's not really. It wasn't Willem either. I don't think. It was Meatball maybe on Sloppy Seconds, I want to say. Or Big Dipper. But they basically had a reset for a really long time. And Michelle and I think Carson or the hilarious Ross Matthews had to vamp for a very long time on stage and ask. Oh, what he did say was that people in the audience kept asking questions about like drag bans and anti-LGBT legislation. And it was sort of like, we get it. Not that it shouldn't be asked, but like after the first or second time, like they kept asking political questions and everyone was like, really? Another one?
Gotcha.
So that was, I guess, sort of a tension in the crowd, but whatever. Because he was like, we're, you know, it's levity. It's the finale of Drag Race. Not that it shouldn't be asked or addressed. And it was already in the reunion and it will be in the finale, but ask what was the most shocking thing that happened during the season or, you know, things like that. But I'm excited.
Well, Team Sasha.
Team Sasha. Crown it.
Well, I think it's time that we have a little bit of TikTok talk.
But just keeping on that drag queen train, really.
Yeah. One could say.
One could say.
Terry Jo was on the H3 podcast.
In... Terry Jo drag and out.
Yeah.
And there are many clips floating around already. Lots of sound bites. Hilariously in character, but the outro killed me. I sent that to you.
Oh.
Oh my God. When Ethan's like siding off.
I love you, Trisha Paytas.
I love you, Trisha. It's like it's fading out.
It's just fading out. It's so good.
Oh, he's such a troll.
Yeah.
He's ballsy. Like, he really says the jokes that you're thinking. But
did you watch the whole thing?
No.
Oh, well, there was one. So the top half of it is Terry Joe.
Yeah.
He breaks character like constantly.
Yes.
But they had White Claw Gabe. Do you know like the characters from?
Yeah.
There's a character on the H3 podcast, White Claw Gabe.
Also, Ethan's like dressed like a Hasidic Jew, right?
Yeah. You can't watch this in public. Like one of my friends was texting me. I was like, I can't pull this up in public.
Yeah, no.
Because people won't get it. No. And this does not work.
No.
But Terry kept just saying, like, they were like, oh, it's Gabe. And she's like, oh, gay. And he was live streaming from a church. And Terry just kept saying, like, oh, and you didn't light up in flames. And like, it just would not, like, it really was going there. But you could definitely sense that it was hard to push that line while being live on YouTube because, mm-hmm. and they talked about like how content and, you know, satire and
yeah,
it doesn't really work on a platform like YouTube
right.
and other platforms. But I actually thought the most fascinating thing about this was when Keelan, who that's his real name, they had a chat. It was actually really sweet and nice and fascinating. And they talked about his coming out and yeah, it was good.
I love that they did both because mm-hmm. you get a taste of the character. But yeah, he really does push the boundaries in ways that are very exciting and like nail biting because you're like, wow, he'll really say anything. Mm-hmm. And at any moment, this can get banned because it's so problematic
yeah.
but funny. I know. Good for him for keeping it going too.
Yeah.
Don't know where this is going, but it's funny.
He was even saying that. He's like, I don't really know where it's going next. Like, I'm
if it's fun for now, then just
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Terry Joe's just sort of swimming in a For You page of lately clownery. I mean, not that it hasn't always been, but I don't know if you're on this, but I have accidentally deep dived into Flavor Talk, flavored water talk.
I have seen this.
The girls are not okay.
The video that you posted in the doc, I was watching it and I was like, is this satire or is this serious? And it's serious.
It's serious. And that is scary.
Why don't you let everyone know what that is?
Literally, I would say mostly like these Southern white ladies are discovering if you put flavoring into water, it flavors the water.
and it's got a lot of protein.
It's like definitely going to lead into like some really dubious like ED territory of like, probably someone's only having flavored water for the day, but it's insane to watch because they've collected all of these like candy flavors and they've the pump flavors that you get for like your coffee or something. And they're like two pumps of peach and you do a little what is it called? I don't know. The artificial sweetener or whatever. It's a peach Bellini. It's the same thing.
It's like, and it's so serious.
It's so serious, and they get their giant fucking, what's it called? Miss Dutchie.
The tumbler. Yeah, they've got their decorated tumblers.
Filled to the top with ice, water, and they just dump this artificial shit into it. You could just have the water.
Yeah.
We started out with
it's just water.
It's just water. And this became a thing, I think, because of those aspirational sort of home organizational videos where you'd see like a line of waters with like lemon and then lime and then strawberry, like the flavoring of the fruits.
Yeah.
I support lemon water.
Yeah.
But this shit has gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
It's so funny. They're just like, you do six pumps of strawberry and then you put in the juicy fruit and then you put in this and it tastes just like margarita.
It's like pinkity drinkity.
Yeah.
I feel like we used to do that in college though.
With water?
Well, no, we would make like mixers. Like I remember we would take like Firefly sweet tea vodka. We would mix it with like peach, not emergency. What's the other one with the C or like the, those little powder things.
Okay.
I don't know, but we would like make these weird concoctions.
Yeah, I think that's different though. You're trying to come up with a cocktail that kind of checks out. That's
yeah.
like, I get it. But when it's water, it's just like, what are you doing? You look like fucking clowns.
The one that you posted, the girl was literally talking like Christina Aguilera. And she was like, yes. And then I put like the flavor in. I'm just very inspired. You know, recently as a mother, I've been fascinated watching her talk for an hour.
I know, you're getting really good at it.
Yeah. Just very inspired. And I just really want to embrace that as a, you know, as a woman and as a mother
and a creative.
That's literally what it's like. I'm really just feeling this, you know, on the TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I just want to embrace that, you know, and I'm getting better with it.
You are.
But anyway, my FYP this week is all filled with old people trying to do TikTok effects and flopping at them.
Oh.
And I don't know what it is, but I cry laughing. Like, tears pour down my face watching these people, like, just do these. It's so funny.
It's really good. It's really good. I don't know how they're finding it.
No.
But it's very... The screenshots of Facebook profiles and like the status activity is like, Susan, you left your phone here.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep posting them anytime I get them.
It's real
on
good.
My Instagram.
Yeah.
There's also a new remix from Jasper.
Yes, there certainly is.
She's made really good ones. Her name's Meredith Bull.
Yeah.
She does really good TikTok remixes, and she did one with Jasper. Barbie's Shaking.
Honestly, it's kind of a club.
I'm making a video.
This was inevitable.
It's so funny.
Jasper the Doll taking over TikTok at this point.
Did you see Jasper had her little like flat ussy out
on
TikTok and the Bratz dolls commented on it. And then like there was a comment that was like, Jasper, like you can't post that. You're violating community guidelines. And it was her, like, I guess she sewed pants on Jasper or something.
Oh, wow.
And she's, like, popping and, like, dancing, but it's, like, wide open. And everyone's like, Jasper!
Go off.
Yeah.
Go off, Jasper. God. Well, you'll probably see that land. Well, it's definitely on your story already.
Or I've reposted it if you're following me on TikTok.
Yeah, I feel bad. There are so many people from, like, high school or family who really should not be following me in any way ever on the internet. But, like... My story is always filled with like things like this that we reference and stuff, but with no context.
You don't need context.
You must think I'm very mentally unwell. And you're right, but it still must be crazier to be like, what the fuck?
Well, the girls that get it, get it.
It's true. I just have to soldier on. Well, we don't have many bops of the week, but we do have some new music.
Yeah. So. My pick for this week is a track by Michael Calfon and Ioni called Going Round Again, Bop.
Round and Round, Selena Gomez.
I've mentioned Ioni before. She has a powerhouse vocal. Mm-hmm. Her voice is so strong and big and powerful. And it's cool to hear it in this way. And it's catchy. Oh, I'm just obsessed. I feel like she's going to get a Sagala, like big time, like Rufus. She's going to have a vocal on one of these big artist track, and it's going to be blasting at EDC, and it's just going to be like, I'm ready for it.
I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
My picks, so we mentioned it last week, and honestly, it's not as like, we were being a bit too dramatic. Kylie's Oliver Heldens 10 out of 10 is out. It's fun. It's cute. It's fine. Something to dance to for the summertime for the festival girls. She's a cute girl, but my favorite part is like the spoken man after the chorus. It's like, body 10. Like that part is like the good part, my favorite part. It's cute. She's a fun, glittery girl. I'll also shout out, I forgot to last week, Aespa, the girl group. They have a song on the Tetris soundtrack.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Called Hold On Tight, which is fantastic. Tetris movie.
How do you...
It's about the making of the game, I think. I actually really did not look into this, but it's a Tetris movie.
Oh.
I assume about like the making of the game itself.
Oh, like a doc about it?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Biographical thriller film based on true events around the race to license and patent the video game during the Cold War. Oh, now I want to see it.
Wait. Okay. Huh.
Yeah. So you can check that out. And then it's on Apple TV Plus. And Aespa have a really good song on it. It actually kind of reminds me of Rakesop. So that's a reference three people will get.
I also, speaking of Kylie tens.
Oh.
I would just like to say justice for J-Lo's.
This is historic. Tens. You demanding justice for any J-Lo song.
What I said.
I love J-Lo's tens.
It's fucking fire.
It's the no-ging anthem.
It's better than...
Yeah, no, J-Lo's tens is actually so much fun.
Bop.
It's so good.
Hypnotico, tens.
Her two best songs.
I would say top five for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waiting for Tonight.
Waiting for Tonight.
Hypnotico. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. I'll put it on the playlist.
A Sony recording artist.
Yeah. Yeah. Whom I don't know.
And then...
Love you, darling. Good luck with the song.
Is there anything that I want to make clear? Also, a shout out to NewJeans. They have a song called Zero. These are another K-pop girl group, girlies, that they're making really interesting music. That's just, it sounds weird and good. They're just kind of doing their own thing, and it's exciting. I'm into it. And speaking of Royksopp, there's a new remix. They keep putting out a remix like every week. Their song Let's Get It Right, Inelia remix, is really good. That popped up on my release radar. Yeah. Their project last year was so great. It was broken into three parts, like Robin's Body Talk, and they've never made a bad song. So,
yeah. Slay.
But we do have one bigger project of the week.
Yeah.
And it's the least personal album I've ever heard.
Ellie Goulegend.
Ellie Goulegend.
Higher than heaven.
She's here. She's not in the studio for long. Higher Than Heaven is out now. Now, before, we didn't talk about this on last week, but she made headlines immediately after the episode because she said in an interview that it was her least personal album yet, which I literally, that J-Lo gif standing up and clapping at an idol.
It's so funny.
I love it. And it's accurate. And it's something that should be applauded because since 2012 or 13 or so, a lot of our girlies really pivoted to marketing their albums as their most personal album ever, including our very faves. And it's a misstep. It's a mistake. It creates an unneeded pressure.
It's a running joke, kind of.
It's
now,
become a running
most
joke.
Most personal.
Most personal. Most smartest. I
know where I think they got that from? Mariah, when she talked about Butterfly.
Oh.
I think that they like borrowed that.
Maybe. Lambly inspired stand-up names.
True.
So
there's like that interview that she did that was, I saw it on TikTok again recently, and she was like, this is my most personal album ever. And I was like, oh, is that where it came from?
Oh, maybe so. I just think it puts an undue pressure on the project. It makes you, it also, if anything, makes, it's almost like a guilting thing if you don't like it. And it's like, but she said it was her most personal. You can't dislike it. When in fact, like, is it always the case? I don't know.
You're my brightest morning star.
It just...
Interpolate that, Bebe Rexha.
Exactly. I think it makes the music matter more when it is personal, and that isn't the most obvious marketing point of it. Like, there are incredibly personal projects like Madonna's Ray of Light, for instance, where it was about motherhood and this new spiritual era for her. But it wasn't just so bluntly, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Just the marketing has been very, I'm tired of every pop star saying, this one, no, this one's my most personal. No, this next one is.
Yeah.
Like, give it a rest.
Because also, like, I don't really care if it's your most personal.
I don't care.
Because I feel like when you listen to a song, you listen to it and then you convert it to, like, whatever you're going through.
Exactly.
Or, like, you connect it. Like, obviously, if you guys know our Britney podcast, like, every Britney album has some kind of a connection to like what was going on in my life. I don't need to necessarily know, you know?
Yeah,
does that
absolutely.
Make sense?
And it's not to say I don't want you to write personal. It's just like, I don't need you to say that it is for me to care. And I still take what I take from the music no matter what. Like you said, yeah, sometimes the like, seemingly impersonal dance songs are very personal to us. And so it's such a silly thing that I think has kind of become a trope in pop music. I also think, you know, shout out to like Taylor Swift creating characters for folklore. I think there's a lot of benefit to writing about fiction and writing characters and going into narratives. These are creative people. that doesn't mean that they have to only write about their life experiences.
True.
Or take them and make them about other people. Like, I wouldn't mind a concept album that isn't about you, but is really personal and deep. There's like a lot of options. It doesn't have to be about you spilling all your inner demons. And I also think another thing is, I don't think we are entitled to or need to have these artists mine the depths of their soul every single album for our benefit. I think it's kind of an unfair ask. It's not what we necessarily do in our day jobs. It's like when we feel the urge, we do in whatever ways that we do, I guess. But I don't think every album needs to be that deep.
I agree.
And so for all these reasons, I really genuinely applaud Miss Ellie for saying that. Unfortunately, she did do an interview after where she, like, sort of classic dry British humor, like, really went in and she's like, oh, yeah, no, I wasn't even in the studio. Like, those lyrics are AI. And that went viral for a moment. She's like, yeah. I was kidding. I don't, it's not that disconnected. But of course, now people believe this is an AI album.
I mean, it could be.
It could be.
We don't know.
True. But Higher Than Heaven is here. I really like it.
She shocked me with this. I'm going to say Halcyon Days.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly one of the best pop albums ever. Like, it's up there for me.
Yep.
Flawless.
Yep.
She lost me for a little while.
You liked Delirium. I don't think it wasn't. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, you know, I wasn't as, like, diehard like, as I was with Halcyon or, like,
Lights.
When she was doing the stuff with Calvin,
yeah,
obviously, like, I was super hardcore keeping up with everything, and then I kind of like fell off a little bit.
Yeah, agreed.
This pulled me back in. I was kind of going in blind to the whole project. I love it.
Yeah,
the visuals are so fucking good, cohesive, cool, interesting. It's I really like it a lot. I was surprised. I was like, oh, a bop, another bop.
Agreed. I mean, it is. In a sense, a bit samey that you do. If you listen start to finish, it is kind of the same synth pulse throughout. But individually, I do think these are great songs. They're bops. By the End of the Night still stand out for me. But a lot of them are great. She released like 8 of them ahead of time already anyway. But all the way through the Sigala that she tacked on at the end with All By Myself with the Depeche Mode interpolation and Better Man at the end is great. I just really like the album.
Yeah, she did that.
And she is, in a sense, mother to some of these girls a little bit. Like, we forget, she didn't invent it, but she was one of the first kind of singing in cursive ladies. Like, the way that she enunciates, Halsey maybe owes her career to her a little bit.
Oh, please don't be mean to me.
Like, her, I don't know exactly how to word it, but yeah, the way that she sings that indie pop girly vocal, which is a acquired taste. Not everyone likes her voice. But I do think I am reminded of Ellie because she was one of the first blogger girlies. I feel like there was a real scene at the time of LaRue, Marina, Sky, Ellie. It was all happening at the same time. And she was part of the pack. Charlie, these electro pop ladies. It's always nice to hear from her. And it's always nice to see her quotes on fake showbiz news. Have you seen the compilation of the tweets of all from that account of Ellie Goulding's fake responses to things?
No, I've fallen for everything. Twitter is like broken now. It like barely works.
That's
I don't know
true.
What's real anymore. Everyone's verified.
Everyone's verified.
I lost.
Well, so the thing actually it's in this that she replied to.
Wait, did I fall for another fake tweet?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
But also no.
Oh.
Rats! So there's this account that I love called Fake Showbiz News where they present a news item and a pop star's fake response to it. But they really have gone in on Ellie over the years in a way that I don't think I fully realize. Like they totally have gone in on her. So one of the famous ones is Ellie Goulding says she can't believe there are more than 800 missing people in the UK. Where the fuck are they all? She said. And it had like thousands and thousands of retweets and likes. Or Ellie Goulding says she can't believe it took 14 years to build the Sydney Opera House. It's nice, but it shouldn't have taken that long, she said.
Is that a real account?
It's a real fake account.
Okay.
Where they
That's kind of funny.
Yes. Ellie Goulding admits she never realized the buzzing sound made by bees was caused by the flapping of their wigs. I just thought they were saying that. Buzz, she told reporters. But there's like dozens of these. And she has since become self-aware of these tweets and has even, in this tweet, for instance, quote tweeted and said, where the fuck are they all? So she is aware of this running joke now.
Got it. Okay, so that's the reference for
yes.
Oh,
it's
that's
kind of like
funny.
It's funny. It's kind of like Clickhole, where
right.
they have the celebrity in the quote, and it's like,
or like Reductress.
Yes,
or the Onion.
It's about something completely ridiculous.
Got it. Yes. Okay, so she's referencing this
fake account,
and making a joke. Okay,
yeah, which I appreciate that. So.
Denise!
Yeah.
Love a girl with a sense of humor.
Really do. So that's that. Higher Than Heaven, her least personal album, is out now. Grab it. She didn't give it much thought.
That is actually a really funny headline. Like,
it's so my funny.
My least personal album
is so funny. But, you know, when she just described it in more detail and stuff, it actually sounds quite lovely that she went in. She wanted to make bops. She wanted to write.
Sometimes you just want to shake your tits. There's nothing personal.
And
about
the track
that.
By track on the Apple Music is also like, you know, this one's about the feeling of falling in love. This one's about. It's not. It's impossible to write a song and not like be about concepts or things like that. It just isn't necessarily. She said, if you look at Brightest Blue or certain albums, like I was very specifically talking about events and people.
Yeah.
And that would make me nervous for you to hear the lyrics. This is not that.
I also think it makes an actually personal album stand out.
Yes.
When it's like you're actually Kelly Clarkson, for example.
Yes.
Not every album is her most personal, but like
right.
we're gonna talk about it coming up. But like this next one that's incoming, obviously there's like a weight to it that feels
yeah
heavier because we know that it's gonna be actually personal.
Right. It's true. You know, and it doesn't have to be like I feel like a lot of Britney fans feel that way about In the Zone because she was hands-on for the most hands-on she had said at the time of that record. And that was a lot of like her own ideas and styles and things like that into Blackout, which drew from her life. So it's like, but we didn't, you know, it didn't need to be told to us as much as we heard it. We're like, oh,
yeah,
you know, or saw her writing the melody of Every Time and be like, oh. She's really involved here.
Yeah.
You know? So I like the idea of pulling the reins back a little bit and being like, look, this is about things and people and ideas and not me necessarily. We stan Ellie for this movement, counter movement, down with the personal pop album.
Yeah.
I mean, then look at Ava and BB and like all the girlies. Like sometimes we just want to dance
yeah.
and bop and shake our tits.
Exactly.
Why isn't that allowed? You know? Like, why can't it
It's allowed
just,
here.
It's certain. This is a safe place for that.
It's very like the video of Coco singing, I love shoes.
Yeah.
I want to fuck them. And they're like, <"Rrr." laughs>
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned. I'm sure she also was number one for Miracle this week with Calvin.
Bop.
They went to number one in the UK. It's not on the album, but that's fine.
I feel like that probably helped with this
maybe
promo. It's like give a little taste of,
yeah.
you know, this nostalgic memory
yeah.
of this duo working together. And then boom, there goes your album.
Sure.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. So let's hope that knocks down the dominoes of trance and pop music and least personal pop albums coming.
My least personal, most electronic inspired album. Yeah. There we go.
Well, we also have things coming up.
Well, we've got some stuff coming up.
We sure do. And we'll bring them into the after show. We'll drag them in by our hair.
Yeah, we've got some more legends incoming.
We do. We do. So head on over to the Interior Illusions Lounge for the after show or join us next week for another episode of Legends Only.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Kelly Clarkson, Nikki, and Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that tweet this week that was like, which is the worst, like which performer has the least stage presence? And it's like,
I saw that baiting tweet.
And the quote tweet that said,
if I speak,
will I be doxxed? And then all the comments were like, yes.
Yes.
No matter what you say, you will be doxxed.
Actually, yeah, because you really could just pick any of them and you'll
right.
be doxxed.
Yeah.
Anyway, We will not be doing that.
We're going to be revealing our answers.
Yeah, no. Exactly. In order.
I do have an answer, Drew, but like, yeah, I'm going to keep it somewhere. I'm going to go to my grave with that one.
Not getting doxxed this week.
It's definitely Britney. No, kidding. Okay, guys, we're going to go to the after show. If you would like to listen, patreon.com/legends. Only. And if not, we will see you next week.
Until then,
we will
see you
soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.